Hello, and thanks for listening to the Kept Faith podcast. I'm Nick McCann. I'm joined by Travis Russell.
Hey, go Padres. I don't even know what to say, Nick. I am as frustrated as I've ever been as a Padres fan. And I know I shouldn't be because we just won two, but I don't feel good. I don't feel good at all.
Yeah, well, you just had your third child this week. Congratulations.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much.
So are the Padres 2-0 since the birth? Is that what it is now? Or
I got to say they're 2-1. I think I wish it was the case. But right as Norm McDonald passed, my daughter was born. So I'm hoping there was somewhat of a transfer there because I already missed that guy. It's crazy. Yeah. So, yeah.
All right.
Well, Thank you for that. It's good to be a dad. I like it. It's one of the great things in life.
I'm glad that you're able to do a podcast this soon.
I have my priorities. Kids are one thing, but the Padres are a whole nother level. Right? I know.
Well, yeah, we're in the stretch run here in the 2021 season. We wanted to check in with a Giants fan in what we call the NL West House. He is the host of Tox Chrome, and he's the original producer of the Kept Faith podcast, I would say, right? Isn't that how it
started? I think so. I'll claim that title.
Sure.
You know him, you love him. Sean O'Donnell is here.
Thanks, guys. Woo-hoo! Good to be back. It's been a long time. I was thinking, we talked about this last time I saw you, but it was like I knew we were going to like say goodbye for the summer and then we were going to come back together in September because of the way they scheduled it, right? We haven't played since May.
Yeah. Well, I want to go back and listen to our episode before the season started because wasn't it right around before the season started? I feel like I feel like we
did one early. I think this is my third time. We did one the first series and then we did the one the last time they played together.
Oh, yeah.
But then we looked at the schedule, Nick, and we were like, wow, I'm not going to see you guys. And I'll see you on the other side. I don't think that either of us thought this was how the year was going to go.
No right. way.
It's right. great to see you guys. I'll just say that. Sean, wow, what a great year. So
you have the best team in baseball, and it's the most unfair thing in the history of humankind. That's all I have to say to start this podcast, and then we can go from there.
Let's go back to when we last talked. It was the Giants were in first place back then. And we were all, not you, Sean, but the Padres Nation was like, well, they're clearly the 2010 Padres. They're going to fall off.
That's right.
Nice to talk to you now, Sean. Enjoy it while it lasts. We'll see you at the end of the summer or early fall. And the Padres schedule basically had a bunch of series against the Giants and Dodgers at that time. And then we had this huge gap where we were going to play the easier part of our schedule. And we were planning on that being our time to make our big move. And we fell off a cliff pretty much. And we're trying to dig our way out of this huge hole. And we just split a series with the Giants, which is, that's encouraging. Two game winning streak. But we find ourselves looking up at the Cardinals. And the Giants and Dodgers are just way ahead of everybody in the National League. So yeah, it's going to be the Cardinals and the Dodgers in a one-game playoff. I'm pretty confident about that.
Don't quit, Nick. They're not quitting yet. You can't quit. I know this year has been frustrating. It's been really weird for me. I got to tell you, because I know you think that, like, you said, in May that, that I didn't feel like, well, this isn't going to last. It's like us Giants fans are still a little like, how is this happening? Because these guys, it's been 5 years, Travis. These are the same guys who've been here for 5 years. It's we didn't get Chris Bryant at the beginning of the season. We got him in the middle of the season when we were already leading the league in wins. It's Brandon Crawford and Brandon Belt and Buster Posey. And all these guys were here in 2018 and 2017. Like, I know the pitching is better. I know that we've kind of spread the wealth when it comes to the power. We're like, no one has 30 home runs, but everyone has more than 15.
But don't the Giants have like the most home runs?
But that's what I'm saying is it's like no one is out there hitting 40. There's no Shohei Ohtani's or Vladimir Guerrero's, but everyone has 20 home runs.
So what you're saying is baseball is about teamwork, not about individual superstars.
Someone could write an A+ term paper on team baseball regarding this team. because it doesn't make sense to most of us as fans. There isn't a guy where you go, man, that's how we're winning these games. We don't have someone who's going to win the Cy Young. You know, right. I know Brandon Crawford's been talked about what a great year he is, but like
MVP.
Yeah. But like, is that really going to happen? Like, it's just, it's a team.
Yeah.
The only thing, there was a game, there was a series against Arizona where we were down by like 5 runs and they came back to tie it. And like, and it was like a 15 inning game and they just never quit. And I watched that and I said, that's why, because it's all these 34-year-old dudes who go like, maybe this is it. And they're just like, they're working counts. They don't give up. They make good at bats. They never think they're out of it. You can see it. It's like, it's visible that the Giants in any situation, as long as they still have a dude at bat, they still think they can win. And that's how they're doing it.
Yeah. And that is the exact opposite of the San Diego Padres I have watched since the All-Star break. It literally feels like we didn't get the guys we wanted to finish the season. And so, well, let's just, you know, let's go out there, but whatever. Like, they stopped working counts. They're swinging first pitch like I want to beat my head into a wall.
An immaculate.
And it just feels like they're apathetic when they're, and I don't necessarily need emotion, but there doesn't seem like any urgency to make a, you know, I saw Belt the other night get a bunt down in the ninth inning and score. It was unbelievable to watch him create a run out of thin air, watching the field, seeing the opportunity, do it, get over on a pass ball or whatever it was. And then a single from Crawford or whoever it was got him in. It was like the Padres should be able to do that in spades with the talent that's on that team. And they just go up there and swing first pitch. And I just, I'm losing my mind over here.
I have to say, I think that it's people in baseball say, well, the manager doesn't matter. I think it starts from the top. I think Kapler has done a great job. I think Farhan's done a great job in instilling this kind of belief and relying on the leaders in the clubhouse with the younger guys like Lamont Wade, like being that influence on like, we're never going to give up. And like, as a dad who has kids playing like kids sports, watching team body language is amazing. And you can see it in 6-year-olds and you can see it in 30-year-olds when a team has quit. My daughter's 6-year-old soccer team played this team on Saturday where they had a girl who, dude, she looked, her number was 14. And I was making jokes like, is that also her age on the other team? She gets out there, they get her the ball and she scores within like the first 5 seconds. And then it's like, and then just keep scoring. And you can just see these girls slowly, their shoulders kind of start to slump.
And what's the point?
And us parents are just watching this going like, they got to pull this girl for our girls to have a chance at just coming back because they quit. And you can see it in grown men too, when they're out, when they have decided they're out of it. I think it starts with the coach. I'm telling you, I know you guys have had some kind of frustration with Tingler. I don't know if he's the guy to instill that with those guys. You would hope a Hosmer, like one of these veterans, could kind of maybe, you know, kind of get the vibes going.
I guess he tried. And since his locker room speech, it has not been good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Sean, as you can imagine, the last few episodes we've done have been pretty dark and sad. But a big conversation.
This is the most optimistic we've been in weeks.
No, but we're talking about this a lot. As you know, is it the front office above Tingler? Is it Tingler? Is it all a collective problem? You know,
is it Will Myers?
But it's like, who do we blame within the organization? I want to ask you about this because we had a really great episode with, you know, Saris a couple of weeks ago, and he did talk about how the Giants have the most coaching staff. Like, they just have the most people working behind the scenes. It's like it seems like while you were in the wilderness when you had 5 years without being in the playoffs, I mean, we sneezed that out.
It's been a long, that's routine. Long cold, dark
yeah, just
road,
really yeah. hard times for you. But like, were Giants fans looking at things in the organization, hires, maybe before Kapler got involved, but you know, was there an infrastructure being built and could you see that?
Well, I think that we saw towards the end of that kind of World Series stretch where they didn't do a great job in the draft. You know, Sabian kind of had given the reins up, like kind of in the middle there. And so when Farhan came in, it was kind of like, okay, maybe this is going to be the change, because while we had great players and that 16 season, it was like there was a chance when we lost to the Cubs, you know, it didn't seem sustainable. So honestly, like, the reason I'm surprised is I kind of pegged the Giants as like a 2024 kind of contender, because they have done a really good job of finally signing international signees. Sorry, that's a horrible way I phrase that. Doing well in the draft, you know, finding talent on the through free agencies. So like, it all started for me with Farhan, but I thought that it was going to take longer. So I'm surprised, because we haven't had any of these guys. It's not like Marco Luciano is up, you know, playing shortstop. He's still, you know, in high A. It's the guys who they have and they've had performing well. And so, you know, it was kind of when Farhan got hired, it was like, in Farhan we trust. I'm going to give him a decade, because you saw what he did with the Dodgers, and it's just kind of starting to pay off earlier, I think, than maybe even he thought it would.
And every media member in sports, basically.
Like, but it's been really fun, because the minor league teams have been awesome too. I live 10 minutes away from the San Jose Giants, who I think clinched the playoffs this week. And they're great. And the high A team is great. And they've got all this talent in the top 100. I mean, it's like,
yeah, that's all you were talking about for the beginning of the season, was the Triple A team. And look at that.
Yeah. And now, and you're right. That's what I was excited about. And that's what I missed last year, was like, oh, I want to know what these guys are doing who are in Sacramento. And there's no information about what, you know, what at bats were taken that day or anything. Yeah. So this year I've had both. I get my team to lead the majors in wins. And I also get to go watch Marco Luciano and Luis Matos and all these superstars, you know, 5 minutes from my house, all these like 17 year olds just hitting 400 foot home run. It's just, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Sorry. Travis, how are you guys doing?
Yeah. Travis,
yeah, I was going to say, Sean,
we're tracking
Smitey with your riches. That's all I have
to say. We're tracking Gore's blister
decline
situation.
The pit of hell.
Want to say the season's not over yet. If you'll remember those Giants teams, they never won the division in any of those years.
Okay, tell us more.
Won the World Series. Uh-huh. And so you're not out of it. You got to win that one stupid wild card game, which you can do. And then you got to get hot at the right time. You got to have everyone get healthy. You got to have people start buying in. We're starting with the fan base, Nick. Maybe it's they look at the fan base. They look into the stands. And they see your faces and they start to feel bad. I don't know. It's got to start somewhere, and it's not going to start with me.
I mean, people have been talking on Twitter about exorcisms and, like, you know what? We're at the point now where we don't know what is wrong. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Sacrifice the chicken out on first base.
What needs to happen?
If Bruce Bochy came and gave a speech to this team, he's not the manager, he's not taking Tingler's job, but they just bring him in to give a speech in the locker room.
Yeah.
Would you feel betrayed as a Giants fan?
Oh, yes. Very much.
Good. We should go fund me for that.
I think Bochy has all the money he needs. I don't think
like a scared straight by Bochy, where he cut, you know what I mean? They used to do those things with juveniles in prison. You know what I mean? Well, they could come in and
We have to make the playoffs, and we're going into a playoff, or it feels like a playoff series. We're going into a series with the Cardinals this weekend, where we're throwing out our new boy, Vince Velasquez. I mean, the Padres are just signing guys off the street. Dallas McLaughlin couldn't be on the show tonight because he just got signed by the Padres. He's pitching on Sunday.
He's finally fulfilled a lifelong dream. I remember Vince Velasquez. Didn't he strike 16 Padres out in 2015? Yeah. Was it 2016?
2016. He has this crazy game, and he's been a pretty, you know, he's a talented guy. Everybody can see the talent, but he's just, you know, he's never really put it together. The Phillies never, it just didn't really work, you know. Yeah. But this is, you know, he has a chance to, you know, get take his career back. He's 29 years old and he just got cut in the middle of a season. So, I mean, hopefully, I mean, he will be motivated. You know, I mean, him and Arrieta and Ross Detweiler. I mean, it's, you know, I think Nick, the hardest.
You seem excited.
Yeah. I mean,
well, it is kind of amazing that it worked out that we're playing the Cardinals this weekend and that's now who we're neck and neck with as in the wild card series. It's just crazy how baseball works out like that.
Look, I'm rooting for you guys. I want to play you guys in the playoffs. I don't want to play the Cardinals.
Nobody wants the Cardinals.
Yeah, like I don't want to lose to the Card. Like my thing as a Giants fan, not that you care, is now that we've clinched the playoffs, I don't want a wild card spot. I want to win the division. I don't want to get this far, have them start losing games, have the Dodgers win the division, have to play a wild card game. Like that would be the gut punch because the momentum will have.
Yeah, that'd be like, gnarly momentum.
They got to keep it up. And so as much as I was excited to talk to you guys after those first two wins, seeing the, you know, but again, even tonight, they didn't quit. There was still a chance.
Yeah, it got close at the end.
At the end there, there was still a chance. And so as long as that's happening, even if we're losing games, as a fan, I still feel good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one thing I've been thinking about a lot is, I mean, the Giants and Dodgers are still fighting for the division. If either of those teams fall into the one game playoff and say the Cardinals or the Reds or the Padres win that game, I mean, I think we're looking at a rule change or something. Cause they'll be 17, 18 games up on that, whatever team makes it pretty much.
Yeah.
I don't think we've seen that before where the one game bumps the team that's that far ahead of the other team.
Yeah.
Gets into the playoffs. I mean, that would be a catastrophic thing to happen.
Yeah, but I mean,
I'm here for it,
but I guess it's like it is you didn't win the division and that's what you're supposed to do. I mean, I that's my thing is like
I like it.
That's the penalty.
The wild card is you don't get to complain. You didn't win your division. You don't really belong in the playoffs. Now as a Giants fan who we won 3 World Series getting the wild card, I'm not totally against it. No. But I do love that game. I mean, it's an instant game 7. It's very exciting, you know, and the playoffs can be long. So it's kind of nice to start off with that kind of energy. It's kind of get you through to the end of it. But I really, really hope the Giants don't, you know, start losing games now. We had a pretty bad week 2 weeks ago. We had a great week this last week where we won like 8 in a row. Hoping these last two were an anomaly, but we have to go play the Braves again. So, you know, that's a good team. Mm-hmm. And I know we're going to see you guys again soon, right?
Next week. We play the Dodgers and I think the Dodgers, Giants and Padres just play each other
that's how it's designed. You know what I mean? That's what they do. It's always been that way so that it can kind of be exciting and they can really suss out who the best team in the NOS is, and I just hope that it's the Giants.
We have
six more games against each other before the season's out.
So we have two more series then.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So we end with three series against you in this month. I knew it was bad. That's insane though. Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
We're gonna know.
We end the season with you, Sean.
I'm basically on the Kept Faith now for the rest.
Yeah. I'm saying we should do like a season ending Zoom game or something.
I love it. I love getting.
We can all drink from home and watch the game.
As much as I hate the Dodgers winning the World Series, I love an NL West team getting talked about, even if it's the Dodgers, as long as it's not, you know, that kind of East Coast sports bias. NL West. Right. That's where my heart is.
Well, I'm really excited for the, you know, it would be tough if the Giants won like 4 World Series in one almost basically a decade, but having the Dodgers win a fake World Series and then not win the following year in a real season would be amazing. That just has to be how it works out. And if they got bounced in the one game playoff, even if it was the Cardinals, like that'd be amazing.
Just really nice. Yeah, I agree.
So Sean, I mean, you are the host of Talks Chrome, a show that I'm on every once in a while, you know.
Yeah,
I'm on fourth mic, I would say, but
number one in everyone's hearts. Every time there's a video without Nick, there's always like, where's Nick? We need more Nick content.
Yeah. So what, after, you know, just to catch our listeners up, you know, who are the big breakout stars in the card world for the 2021 season that you've that have maybe moved up? I mean,
yeah,
give us an idea.
Well, yeah. So for the cards that are released this year, it was kind of a soft rookie class. Unfortunately, the kind of the big guys coming into it were like Joe Adell and Joey Bart. And, you know, some of these guys, Joey Bart never even made it to the majors this year. And Joe Adell kind of came up. Now he's hurt. Yeah. Cronenworth has been, you know, one of the other ones, but now he's hurt as well. So this rookie class, it might be one where you might have to come back to it in a few years. It might be worth buying some of those cards this year while the prices are kind of low. You can get Joey Bart cards pretty cheap. You could probably get Cronenworth cards for lower than, you know, because he's kind of an older rookie. Yeah, so people might think, this guy's too old to start at this point. That might be to your advantage. You can get some Cronenworth, some of the nicer cards, and you're not going to pay like a Joe Adell price. But I was talking about earlier, so next week, I think on the 22nd, Bowman Chrome, and that's one of the big releases of the year for prospects. Victor Acosta, who is one of your international signees, he's 17 and he's hitting 300 in one of your rookie leagues. He has a first Bowman card in that set. And if you don't know, first Bowman is basically the rookie card for prospects. Okay. So it's a very highly sought after card for, you know, every kind of superstar. So if you're a Padres fan, you're looking to get into collecting cards, Bowman Chrome, like I said, comes out next week. You may want to check out either trying to get us some boxes of that or just trying to find Victor Acosta first Bowman's on eBay. I looked at his numbers. He looks like he's, you know, he's not having any trouble. And when you're 17 and doing that, the future's bright. It could be a big card. And I'll be looking to try to grab some of those Victor Acosta cards next week.
So the Bowman Chrome, does that have, you know, the card that we're looking for, does that have photography from like his previous team, like his international?
You know, that's a good question. It will have whatever the photo is. It will be photoshopped with the Padres uniform on it is kind of the Bowman tradition.
Bowman way.
So, yeah. It should be a great looking card. They haven't actually... I don't think we've seen that a preview one yet. Yeah, like I said, it was supposed to come out this week, got pushed back a week. But again, that's one of the bigger cards coming out with this set that collectors are high on.
Yeah. What is in the overall league, like what's the big rookie card from the 2021 season that everybody maybe didn't expect, but he just shot through the roof? I'm trying to think who...
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, there was a couple guys who it was like early on, people were like, oh, what's the deal with like Yermín Mercedes or Akil Baddoo? Yeah. Those were like the first couple weeks. No one has really has done that yet. There hasn't been a guy who just kind of come out of nowhere. That doesn't mean it won't happen in this last couple weeks. Doesn't mean it won't happen next season. I mean, obviously Wander Franco is probably the biggest, everyone's eyes are on him. He will not have a rookie card this year because of when he was called up. So he will be in series one of 2022 and he'll be the big chase card for that. But as far as 2021 rookies, the guys I'm still kind of high on is Joe Adell, Joey Bart, Ke'Bryan Hayes, I think is really athletic and could be an awesome baseball player. Anyway, those are probably the three guys. I do like Jed Cronenworth. I think, you know, I think even though he's 27, he still could have a good, you know, 6-7 year, maybe longer career.
I mean, it seems like it. Yeah. He might come back this weekend, Travis.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully.
Yeah. But and where does
stupid
he play?
Finger getting hit by a pitch. I tell you,
where does he play?
Cause you guys that's not a problem for you is having a, you know, places for guys. The other guy,
he plays second base.
Well, I know, but
Fraser, if I had my way, Hosmer sits his butt down.
No, that's the question people are asking. Should, when Chrome comes back, should be the death nail on Hosmer?
Yes. The numbers came out on Hosmer over the Giants series and it's pathetic. He left so many men on base. He always gets a hit and a double in the ninth inning. And everyone's like, oh, Hosmer got a hit, but he is the most unclutch.
I mean, the play where he
first baseman with no fundamentals. I mean, I liked the guy when I had him in fantasy years ago, but watching him as a Padre, he is the most overrated pile of crap first baseman I've ever seen. Like, there's no other way to talk about it. They should DFA him and eat the money, and the team would probably In fact, Dallas talked about this a few weeks ago where he said, well, obviously the team likes Hosmer so much that the rumors of him being traded. And I think the opposite. I think they were so excited to get rid of this guy. And the fact that he stayed bummed them out so much that this is why they're underperforming. He gave a locker room speech and they've literally fallen off a cliff since the locker room speech.
Maybe that was the whole
like he can't catch a ball at first base.
Telling
like
everyone
if I was Tatis and Machado, I'd be like, "What are you doing to me, you jackass?"
The thing where he caught the ball behind on in
I've never seen anything like it.
That was amazing. Yeah,
what's his rookie card? New ways to make bad plays at first.
Yeah, we'll have to do a Hosmer rookie card search. I don't remember what
he must have. Well, he must have had a pretty. He must have had a prospect card that was pretty high at the time.
You know, it's funny. You guys have a couple of guys. Obviously, Tatis is a huge, that's a huge card. Yeah. But you guys had like, remember when Will Myers was like a number one prospect?
Sure.
Profar, that was another guy who was like.
Yeah, 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was like number one for a long time. I was going to plug for Talk Strom, though, is we did actually get to interview Matt Strom from the Padres.
Yeah,
nice.
And so I think if you go to the Talk Strom YouTube page, that's like the first video that's up there. But that's worth watching. That was a thrill for Dallas and I to get to talk to him because he's a card collector.
Yeah, he has his own show with the Padres.
And it's so great, Travis. Yeah. He opens like boxes of cards at the stadium. And so I got to ask him all these questions I've always wanted to ask like an actual baseball player about cards. So definitely it's worth awesome. Checking out as a Padre fan. He was just a great dude. So
yeah,
that was really fun.
The episode's great. It's so cool to see somebody just, you know, have the kind of, he understands the fan side of it in a way that I bet a lot of them do, but it's just, it's cool that he's doing his own show while he's an active player. That's just the,
yeah, I love that perspective. That's what I told him at the end. I was just like, thank you for doing it. Cause you could collect and did not tell anybody. And no one would give you a hard time about it, but the fact that you do it and then you like share kind of your insight is such a treat for fans of baseball and of cards. It's just like, you know, it's just so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, another thing I don't know if everybody realizes, I know we've been talking about it on Tox Chrome a bit, but the big switchover next year is from, you know, the Tops is not going to be the main baseball card company anymore. Yeah, it's going to Fanatics.
They lost the license to Fanatics. I don't actually think it changes until 2020.
Oh, okay.
4 or 5. So there's just still a few more years.
Oh, okay.
It's a huge
end of an era
change for baseball cards. Yeah, you're right. I mean Topps has been since 1952.
Yeah.
And Panini's been making cards for a long time, and they do baseball, basketball and football. They have the license for that. So people are obviously a little concerned because this is something they care a lot about. I'm trying to kind of remain hopeful. Fanatics could potentially buy out Topps. Maybe that's great. Nick gets to see firsthand how bad some of the stuff, the things that Topps does, how bad the quality control is. Maybe Fanatics is going to be the answer to some of the problems people have had with cards. It's too early to tell. I'm not going to get bummed. Like I said, kind of like right when the news broke, my thing has always been, as long as there are athletes that we like and there are artists who can make cool cards, the hobby can continue. It may be different, but it could be better. We don't know.
Yeah.
Well, speaking on this, and I didn't think about talking about this before, but have you guys gotten to the NFT card side of this at all? Because I mean, as a Bitcoin person, not so much a crypto guy, I do see the value in like an animated collector card. There's one of them
for sure
that exists.
For sure. Dude, so Topps did release a line of NFTs.
Yes, I didn't know about this.
I got one of the opening day packs. I have not opened it.
Interesting.
Which it was like one of those, if you signed up for it, the first 40,000 people, I think, or maybe it was less than that, 10,000 people got this pack. I didn't open it. So maybe one day I will. We could do that as part of the Talk Scrum thing. Then when they actually did the release, I tried to buy like a couple $100 worth of them.
Yes.
And the way they rolled it out was so bad that it was like, I purchased it and then got an email later saying like, you didn't buy it. And I was just like, I was so turned off by that.
Yes.
How poor, again, Topps, just how badly they executed that. Then they didn't do anything they didn't release any more NFTs for like 6 months.
Huh.
And they just recently did something and I was just like, no. Because the other thing is if Topps is gone, like, how do I know that they're going to, like, you know what I mean? Is this going to be worth anything?
Yeah. So that it's, I think it's still a little early in the technology maybe, or the cultural, because there's also, I try to do it with my personal art, and there's like gas fees and all these different things that feel like if you're trading cards, if my cards worth $50, but I'm gonna pay $100 to trade it. I don't
understand. Yeah. Right? And that was the other thing too, is like, so it is a thing that's happening. So NBA, the biggest one has been NBA, Top Shot. Right.
I know.
Where it's like a clip that you have that you don't actually technically own. The NBA owns it, but you have this clip.
Okay. The rights to that. Yeah.
But you don't have the rights.
They really have the rights to it.
Yeah. So like that was really, really popular last year. It's still probably the most popular. Like Panini has done NFTs, but like, the cards don't do anything. Like I think the potential is there for some really, really cool stuff. Topps is like, it would like shimmer every 5 seconds. And you're like, what, why? This isn't not cooler than the actual card to me. I did want to get him because I was like, this is a chance to be on the ground floor of something. And Topps at the time, they had not announced that Topps lost the license. So, you know, it is something that's happening, Trav. I don't know what it's going to look like in 5 years, but I could see it being something that's bigger and bigger as time goes on.
Oh, yeah. Me too. And it's kind of exciting. And when it starts to catch on, I'll be the fifth wheel on the show.
Yeah, dude, as a dude who has like way too many cards filling up this room, I'm like, there's a lot.
Yeah, that's like about NFTs. It's very interesting. Imagine being able to take your cards anywhere just with your memory.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
They're all your cards are actually in your brain.
But I will say that there is something about like the thing that got me back into cards
touching
is holding.
Yes.
Grab, look at this last night on the show, and we're going to post this. And again, this will hurt your heart. Oh. That's Justin Herbert.
Oh my goodness.
Numbered to 20. So the fact that this is like, now technically that's a sticker auto. So he like did not hold this card. He signed the sticker and they put it on here.
Right.
But there's something about the physical aspect of this.
Dude, I miss compact disc. I'm not going to lie. I loved album artwork. I love
having the folder, like
having my case with me, putting them into the player. Yeah, no, totally.
There's something about our attention spans also that have died with the ability to so quickly change through things. You put this, you put the tape in, you're going to listen to side
to
one.
The album.
Yeah.
I hear you. Interesting.
Yeah, it's fabulous. I mean, the whole industry just has blown up as far as on the card
like
side.
Exploded.
It's amazing.
It's a lot of guys like me who got into it. And honestly, I just didn't know how cool it was. I think that I thought it was like it was, where it's like, you just go, you get your cards. I didn't know you could get pieces of jersey out of a card. I didn't know you could get autographs and all these cool serial number. I mean, like, I just didn't know.
To me, like, my favorite thing that they're doing is they're going after high level graphic designers to do special designs on cards and give their take and kind of, and you can tell that the artists really are just jumping at it because they want to be a part of the Topps legacy, which, you know, just whatever it is, you know, I think that's just pretty cool.
It is really cool. And for, you know, like, I know there's a lot of people who got into it maybe to try to make money and they're out, but like, my thing was like, I'm never going to get out of this. Cause this sums up everything I love about sports. It's art. And it's athletes combined, and it's like, you know, it enhances cool kind of the like following these teams, and it's amazing. It's been really, really fun. And getting to do Talks Chrome with my friends too is like, that's been the highlight of it, is like just getting to like share it with them and then have people actually respond to our stupid show. It's unreal. So fun.
That's very cool.
Yeah, you can check out the Talks Chrome at talkschrome.com and That's Talks Chrome on Twitter and Instagram. And is there anything else I'm missing? I guess
we have the YouTube's the main place, but if you go to talkschrome.com, it'll take you everywhere.
We're gonna be taking over TikTok soon. So
that's right. I got to figure that out. Yeah, that's the next step.
Yeah, we should all go to like a TikTok for. You guys are 40 almost.
Yeah, I'm 40. Yeah. I'm 41.
Yeah,
TikTok 42. For 40-year-olds seminar or something, so we can learn how to do this.
And... yeah, I think there's a market there for doing the cards. Like there was a guy opening like just like 87 packs, and you get like 100,000 people watching this. It's like, okay,
well, it's the 86, 87 is the peak.
I know.
My packs aren't open, but I have probably like boxes and boxes in that closet over there from. late 80s through 90, early 2000s.
Time to start going through there, Trav. See what
I'm worried
got.
About. You know, I'm worried about Tatis. It's like, you know, I have all these Tatis cards. If they make him an outfielder, what does that do? That's good. That's what I think about at night.
As long as he's still hitting home runs and yeah, you're going to be fine.
40 home runs in like 115 games.
Yeah, you'll be okay.
Yeah.
Tatis is fine. That's the one that you don't need to worry about.
Is the move to the outfield to kind of preserve him? Is that the idea?
So what happened is they, I hate that argument. The people would think it's like safer or something. I don't, but it's because they can't get off of Hosmer. They got Frazier. Jake Cronenworth is probably a better shortstop than Tatis, or I don't know. He's right there. He can play anywhere basically. So they think that
he takes less chances. He's more consistent with his throws.
Yeah. And so they want it to be Manny, Jake, Frazier, Hosmer, and then put Tatis in the outfield. But Tatis he doesn't want to play in the outfield, which is probably the bigger problem. But then
body language, yeah.
Hosmer sucks. Yeah. So
yeah, when they moved Tatis out there, all of a sudden it was, well, maybe Tatis's issues are more Hosmer, because now Hosmer looks like this clown. You know what I mean? He's got a guy that can throw it to him, and yet he's still muffing the plays.
What it comes down to, Sean, is in 2018, the Padres wanted to sign a name.
Yep.
And they did. And it was Eric Hosmer.
And he was the veteran leadership that won a World Series.
Yeah.
And could lead the team to another one.
We wanted that Royals. We wanted that Royals thing. That's what we wanted.
You guys have Blake Snell and you, Darvish.
Do we have Blake Snell?
And Manny Machado and you know, Tatis.
It's unreal.
You have Mike Clevenger next year. Like, you guys need to just glass half full it for a minute. You guys are so whiny. Your team is so awesome.
But so
my
bad.
Son like, doesn't they like the Giants because there's nothing show. To like. He rooted for the Padres tonight because they're so likable.
That's because he's cool and smart, and he's going to be he's replacing Dallas McLaughlin on this podcast in 6 months, dude.
Sean, they're bad though. Like we have, like you can say that we have all those talent. I hear you, but they're bad. Watching them day after day, especially since All-Star break, they're bad. I was watching the MLB morning show that they literally said, Eric Caro said, I love this team. I rooted for them all year. The talent's amazing, but they're a bad team. They are a bad baseball team.
Don't ever quote Eric Karras.
I love Eric Karras. He's the only Dodger I ever booed.
The theory of sports is this. You put two teams out on a field and they play a game and one of them wins and that team is better. Travis, who won today?
The Padres won in the score.
The theory of sports, Travis.
they won the battle, but they're losing the war.
The crazy theory of sports is that your team isn't bad because they beat my team today and they beat them yesterday.
I don't know. Yeah, it didn't make me feel better, Sean. It did not.
Nothing will make you
better.
Feel better. Nothing will make you guys
get to that
feel
one
better.
Game. We just got to get to that one game. We got to beat the Dodgers in the one game.
You guys will That's be all... mad when you win the World Series. You'll still
no,
be
I
mad
won't.
About
That's
them.
What it takes, oh, yeah. Sean. It takes. I'm at the age. Where
you're gonna.
It's
by
gonna
the way,
take a World
both
Series.
Of you. I want you both. If you guys make it to the. Like, if you guys get to the World Series, you're both going to the doctor to get, like,
yes.
your heart, your
yes.
blood pressure
I have
checked
all my
it
essential
will
oils
ruin
ready.
Your yes. central nervous system. And I was 30. I was like, you know what I mean? Like, I was healthier than I am now. But what it does, especially if you do, like, if the AL or the NLCS goes seven and the World Series goes seven, like, you're done, dude, by the end of it. Your emotions.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Great. When we win the World Series, I'm gonna stay drunk until the parade, yes. and then I'm gonna have my heart attack.
You guys,
I think that's gonna
cardio tomorrow morning. Got to get ready for the playoffs. Start getting that heart and lungs ready for what it's gonna do to you if you guys make the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, I'm to the point now where I will have no emotion until the World Series. There's nothing that can move the needle for me anymore. I've, or else my heart is gonna give out, Sean. I've been doing this for so long.
I know.
We did it in 98. And then last year we made it to the first round of the playoffs and San Diego blew up like we did when we got to the World Series in 98. And I'm like, this is way too soon. You have no idea what we're doing. We showed up in the playoffs and looked like deer in the headlights. I just can't get excited about it anymore. I can't get optimistic until we win a World Series. I might be old and jaded. I keep the faith. I believe we can, but I'm not going to get excited about it.
Trav, you have to just enjoy it while it's happening, because remember, you never know when it could get taken away from you.
It's true.
I'm holding up a Justin Herbert autograph card. You never know when the thing that you love to hate will get ripped from your pleading and trembling hands.
Well, I think that's going to be the end of this podcast. follow the Kept Faith at all our stuff, thekeptfaith.com, Twitter, Instagram, and follow the toxchrome.com and yes. Twitter and Instagram. And
yep, at toxchrome.
Is there a Facebook yet? Are we on Facebook?
No, yeah. I thought about it, but like, yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of like, eventually, but I kind of wanted the YouTube thing to pick up. I think if we get to like, I think we're at 300 and something subscribers. If we get to 1,000, then I'll start forcing it on my family, you know?
Let Zuckerberg have it.
You guys, we have children. Cool. Think of the future. Facebook is not the future. Let's end it now. Regardless of our,
I agree with you.
Facebook's ambitions. Not really, my wife's Facebook got hacked and then like shut down and she couldn't get to it. Like there's no Facebook customer support, which is crazy.
And the implications on the negative or whatever impact it can have on your life is significant.
For how big of a company they are. When if you got hacked that you can't do anything, it took her a month.
Yeah.
And it made me kind of go like, Is Facebook something back? That we need? Yeah. No. Like I was like, I don't know if I want to be around that.
Like,
cause that's really terrifying. You know, like someone could post stuff from her account. So anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The people you care about, you can don't follow us. There's better ways to do it. I'm sorry. Yeah. Anyways, we didn't need to go there.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Well, no Facebook. Yeah. But at ToxChrome, ToxChrome.com, subscribe on YouTube, please.
Yeah. YouTube's the biggest thing. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see you probably, I don't know.
In two weeks, we got another series.
Whenever we have another series, let's do it. Let's do it for the next two.
Cool.
Okay.
All right. We'll keep the faith and all that comes with that. All right. See you next time. Bye.
Go Padres.